Grace team for leading us this morning as you so faithfully do all the time. And thank you for your efforts. You're missing quite a few of your members today, and yet such a beautiful job. Thank you. Last week, we were talking about Jesus Christ breaking the barriers that separate us, and that separate us from one another, and separating us from Him. And we were talking specifically last week about the Jews and the Gentiles, how God is the same God for both of them, and this is a revelation to the Jews and to the Gentiles, but how God took the two and brought them together and made one man, one body out of them. And we're going to pick up that theme of the one body, and we're going to be doing that for at least a couple of Sundays here. Next week, Pastor Steve will be bringing you the Lord's Word. So we kind of break there unless he wants to pick it up. But today we're going to look at the body and what the body is composed of. Now, last week, again, one of the scripture passages I used was Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And let me read that for you. It says, "By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity." We introduced the concept of one body. And we talked last week about how we are all one body. We are one family. And it's not just us who are sitting in this building, but the Church of God worldwide, the Church of Christ worldwide, is all one body. Although there are many of us, and that's what we're going to look at today, is that we are one body, but there are many of us that make up that one body. Because Paul does a lot of talking about one body, but many members. And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to be talking for the next, again, a couple Sundays about how we are connected to the body, the importance that we have in the body. We all have something that we can give to the body, that we can add to the body. We are all unique in our beings of who we are, and yet we are all important. And so we're going to be covering this in the next couple of weeks, but for today, we're just going to, again, develop this concept of many but one. Many but one. Let's ask the Lord to be with us as we look at His Word. Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity we have to meet here. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we study your Word now. We pray that you'd prepare our hearts to receive your Word. And that, Lord, we might grow together as one body, and that we might grow in you. Father, we also lift up to you the service at the courtyard right now as Pastor Dean is bringing the message to them. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them in a very special way. Lord, we don't know where a lot of those folks are spiritually, if even they are a part of the body. But Lord, we pray that through your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that the message Dean brings would touch each and every one of their hearts and bless that service over there as well. Father, thank you now again for this time here, for the folks you've drawn in. Lord, we ask now that you speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many but one. Sometimes we don't see that. Sometimes we don't see a unified church, a unified body. But we need to. It's very important that we do see that. Again, all believers are one body. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior are one body. Now, I didn't say that all church members are one body, because church membership doesn't have anything to do with believing. There are people who are in churches who don't believe. They haven't accepted Jesus Christ. There are churches that don't preach the gospel, and therefore they are not believers. So when we talk about members here, we're talking about believers. People who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are all part of one body. And again, Paul talks about this a lot. 1 Corinthians 12:13, which is our main passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 26 is where we're spending most of our time today. But there we read in verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit." There's a very definite pattern in all these verses that we're going to look at. Colossians 3:15, Paul again writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." So the scriptural backing for this concept of as believers we are all one body, it's very strong, and this is just a few verses that I pulled out of the scriptures that talk about the unity of the body, that talk about the body being one. It's an important concept to figure. Paul spends so much time talking about it to the different churches. You know, he writes it in his letter to Corinth. He writes it in his letter to the Colossians. He writes it in his letter to the Ephesians. He talks about it all the time. He talks about it in his letter to Rome. He talks about the one body. So it's an important theme that we realize that as believers, we are all one body. But even though we are one body, we are still many. We do not lose our identity when we come to Jesus Christ. When we believe, we do not become a kind of a little drone that just kind of falls into place and all of a sudden we are just kind of all alike. We do not lose our individuality when we come to Jesus Christ. We don't lose that. Now we lose our selfishness. We lose our self-desire. We lose our self-interest. We should lose them anyway. But we do not lose our identity when we come to Jesus Christ. Even though we are part of one body, we are many members. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 says, "For even as the body is one, and yet it has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Greek or Jew, whether slave or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." So we see, again, we come into one body. I kind of want to use the word family. We become a family together. But we do not lose our individual individuality. 2 Corinthians 12:20, a little later in the passage, says, but now we are many members, but one body. 1 Corinthians 10:16 and 17, Paul writes, is the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one bread. Again, Paul hits this hard a lot. The oneness that we are to have in Jesus Christ. We are one in Jesus Christ. And yet, we are still many. In his letters to Rome, he writes in chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So we are one body in Christ, but we are also members of each other. Now, in that passage of Scripture, Paul starts to bring up something, a different thought here that we want to follow on. And that thought is members functions function members functions different. I did not write this well. You can look at it and you can tell I did not write it well. This you know, cross that whole thing out and just say, you know, each one of us has a different function, but we're still part of the body. Does that make more sense? Yeah, write that in. What are the members and functions and stuff like that? You know, I read that and read that and read that, and I thought, eh, okay. So anyway, but it makes sense. We're many, and we have different things that we do in the body. Again, going to our main passage, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 15 and 16. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for that reason any the less a part of the body. And if an ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. So Paul is starting to, and he's using the analogy of the human body. And that's a great analogy to use because we understand our bodies well. And we understand that there's a lot of different parts to our bodies, right? You know, we have toes, we have fingers, we have hands, we have wrists, elbows, necks. Some of you have necks, I don't have a neck. But, you know, we have our head, eyes, ears, you name it. I mean, we understand that all this goes to making up me. This is all part of my physical body. Now, my eye isn't any less a part of my body than my ear. And my ear isn't any less a part of the body than my toes. And you know, and on and on and on. We can just keep going on and on. See, if they were different, there'd be a problem. I mean, if they were all the same, it would be a problem. I mean, well, we'll get into that a little bit later, but just we have different gifts, and we don't lose those. And our gifts are important to the body. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all people. See, there's a variety, there's a tremendous variety in the church. There needs to be. There needs to be people who are good organizers. There need to be people who are good followers. There need to be people who are good workers. There need to be people who are good thinkers. We need each other. Because I am not a total package. I am not all things. I can't be all things. There are things I can do. There are things I could not do. For instance, you would not want me in charge of your finances. You wouldn't want it. You want someone who is a good bean counter. I am not a good bean counter. I'm a great bean eater, but I am not a great bean counter. I don't know why. I'm always just good at math, but I can never make my checkbook balance. So I didn't try. I didn't try. I just go online each day, and the bank tells me how much I have, and I'll try not to spend it all in one day. You know, that's just me. So you don't want me in charge of your finances. You really don't want that, or keeping track of what money comes in and what money goes out. You don't want that. You want somebody who's good at that. There are other things you don't want me doing too, but we're not going to get into that because there's way too much time. But see, I do have strengths. I do have things that I'm good at. I make wonderful popcorn. How many of you know that? I make wonderful popcorn. It's just, you know, I doubt anyone here makes any better popcorn than I do. I do. I should have brought some to auction off today. Why didn't I think of that? I got to auction off popcorn. You know, and it's probably would have been cheaper than if you go to the theater and buy it there. Because there's expenses. No, I'm good at that, and I will make popcorn whenever somebody in the church needs popcorn for a group. I'm willing to make it, because that is something that I know how to do and I like to do. Of course, they can do some more complex things than that. But see, we differ. We differ, and it's important that we differ, but we're all still part of one family. Romans 12, 6, 4 through 6. For just as we have many members in one body, and not all members do have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Now it gets into a talk of spiritual gifts, and we will address spiritual gifts, not today. But we are going to address spiritual gifts. We are going to address talents. We are going to address abilities. All come from God, but some we are born with, some God gives to us when we become members. And we're going to talk about that. But right now, we're just talking about that we have one body, but we have many members. And each one of us as a member or as a believer or a part of the body, we bring something to the table. We bring something that's different. We bring something to the mix that is needed. And that moves us into the next point we need. All members are important. Every one of you is important. I don't care if you can teach Sunday school or if you can stand up here and preach or if you can sing or you can do whatever type of thing. I don't care what your gift or ability or talent is. That's not important. The important thing is that you have something to give to the church, to the body, to the family. You have something to bring to the table. 1 Corinthians 12:17 says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? And then in verse 19 of that chapter, it says, if they were all one member, where would the body be? Now think about that. You know, if you were just one big hand, how would you move? Now, yeah, of course, I know you've all seen the horror movie of the hand that crawls across the floor. You know, and I was trying to figure out how did that hand know where the person was because it didn't have eyes. You know, and as he says, if you were just an eye, where would your hearing come from? How would you eat? If you were just a foot, how would, you know, no, all of this needs to come together to be a functioning body. And it's the same way in the church. We all need to come together to be a functioning body, to be healthy. You know, what is the definition of a healthy church? I think the definition of a healthy church is everyone who is in that church is doing what God wants them to do. I think that makes it a healthy church. I don't care whether it's 10,000 or whether it's 10 members. If they're doing what God wants them to do and they're doing it together and united, they're a healthy church. They're a healthy church. So all members are important. All members are placed in the body by God. This is just not a random thing. Well, you know, I just happened to choose here. I just happened to come here. I just happened, well, you know, isn't that fortunate that I did this? Or, well, aren't I lucky that I found? No. It isn't fortune. It isn't happenstance. It isn't luck. God has placed each and every one of us into the body. Now, of course, we come to the body through Jesus Christ, and that is of God. But as we come into the body, or we come into the family, or if we come into the church, all those words are interchangeable. As we come, we need to realize that it is God who has placed us where we are. It is God who has placed us where we are. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desires. It's God's doing, not ours. God's leading, not ours. A little later on in that chapter, verse 24, the last part of verse 24, it says, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. The first part. But God so composed the body. Well, if God composes the body, and this church is a body. Now, this church is a body which is connected to a larger body. But it's all still one body. But right now, we're going to just focus on the body, part of the body that meets here. We all have a part in this. I've heard it said that, well, boy, God just hasn't given us that person. God hasn't given us that person. I don't think that's an accurate statement. Because I think God has prepared the body, even our small individual body here, He has prepared the body, He has placed in there everything we need to do His work. If we think that we are short of someone to do His work, then we are probably not doing the work that God wants us to do. Because He has prepared us. He has built this body here that meets in this building. He has prepared us. And He has placed everything, every person, every member, every believer here that He needs to accomplish His will in this church. So if you hear that statement, I think there's two things you need to look at. First of all, are we doing what God wants us to do that we don't have the people to do? Or the other thing is, are we encouraging our members, our brothers and sisters, to do their part? Are we lifting them up? Are we giving them are we helping them to see their role that we have? Are we giving them opportunity to work in the church? You know, there are some churches that, you know, they have a certain few people that do all the work, and no one else has to. But I don't think that's God's design either. I think if God put you in the church, He put you there to work. Not to sit, not to just be entertained, not to just take up space, but He wants you to work, to do something in that body of believers. Romans 12:3 says, for the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Again, it's God has done this. God has worked in our lives. God is the one who gives us abilities, and gives us the talents, and gives us gifts. Somehow we start thinking we're special. Well, boy, I'm just a special guy. Because I can talk, or I can sing, or I can juggle, or I can whatever it is, you know. And it's like, well, you realize that you can do what you can do because God has given you the ability to do it. It's not of us. It's of God. God has built this body. And he has put into this body what we need to do his ministry. The next thing that we need to look at, and it just makes a lot of sense, if God took this body together, then the members of the body must work together. We must work together. I think one of the things that just really sets a pastor on edge. Two words. Church split. That was never in God's plan for churches to separate. Now, it is in God's plan for churches to multiply. But that's not because people get mad at each other and they move on. They multiply by saying, hey, I think we need a ministry here, and they send people off to do it. That's a different thing. But see, we need to work together. We need to work together. You know, my body has to work together. In order for me to be up here, a lot of things have to work. My feet have to work. They don't work great, but they do work. My hands have to work, because if I can't use my hands, I can't talk. And I think you understand that, because if you've been seeing me now, I like to wave my hand. So anyway, if I put my hands in my pocket, I don't think I'd have anything to say. But my mouth has to work. My eyes have to work. That's why I wear these, because they don't work very well. And so now I can see, because my eyes have to see, so that my brain can take it in and my mouth can put it out. See, it all works together. But that's the way the body of believers work. That's the way the body of believers work. Every one of you is important. And you're all needed. And we need to work together so that we can accomplish what God has us to do. We don't need any divisions. We need to encourage, support, uplift one another. We need to work together. First Corinthians 12:19-21. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the hand cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. You're all important. And we must work together. Continuing on in chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We need to be together. We need to work together. We need to have a real love for one another. And I think, again, sometimes this doesn't happen. This doesn't happen. But it needs to happen. Ephesians 4:15-16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, in Christ. from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Working together. We have a common thread. I don't want to even call it thread because that sounds so little. We have something, we all have something in common, and that's Jesus Christ. We all have Jesus Christ in common. We need to respect one another. We need to love one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to help one another. We need to support one another. We must work together. And this kind of wraps this section up. Again, it's kind of a continuation, so it's not like I'm going to necessarily close and it's going, oh, wow, it's all wrapped up tight in a bow. Well, this section hopefully will be after this last point. But again, it just follows in with each other. All members must be honored. All members must be honored. We tend to honor the people who are flashy. We tend to honor the people who are talented. We tend to honor the people who we see up front. We tend to honor the people who are on the boards, who are Sunday school teachers. We need to honor, we tend to honor those people, and we tend to look at them and think, wow, I'm sure glad they're doing their thing. Well, yeah, be glad that they're doing their thing, but realize there are so many other people doing so many other things to make it all come together. You know, I just get this thing of, I'm going to pick on sports, because I love to pick on sports. You know, we've got this group of men and women, but basically men, who play what we call professional sports. And they get an absurd amount of money to run around in short pants and to play with the ball. Now stop thinking. Basically, that's what they do. Okay, basketball players. No, football players, they can even get a round ball. They've got to have this kind of a oblong ball. And they got to wear pads because they don't want to get hurt. And they just, they get paid more than our doctors get paid. They get paid more than the leaders of our country get paid to play a sport. And we look at them as idols. Well, a lot of us do. And there are some good ones out there. There are some good ones out there. Or when I'm hearing about the Philadelphia Eagles team, is exciting. I mean, my goodness. Baptisms before the game. It's exciting. And I get excited about that. I really can get excited about that. But you know, you stop to think about it. Okay, I didn't watch the Super Bowl. Didn't really care to. Now I wished I had because I'd have cheered for the Eagles. But, you know, these guys are great and it's important. The game's all about them. But just think, what would happen if there wasn't anyone selling tickets? If there wasn't anyone collecting tickets? If there wasn't anyone who built the stadium to begin with? If there wasn't people running the television cameras? If there wasn't people who were selling in the concession stands? If there weren't people who were cleaning up the locker rooms, cleaning the stadium? If there weren't these people, how important would these athletes be? They would be nowhere. Absolutely. They could just run around in a circle in a field somewhere. No one would see them and no one would care what they're doing. See, they need all these people around them. They don't think they do, but they need all these people around them. People that are very important, although they'll never get any accolades for what they do. They won't. Well, it's the same way in the church. No, we look at the pastor and the praise team and whatever, and we just kind of like, oh man, these are big guns, you know. It's kind of like, we are no more important to this body than the least of them. Because that's the way God has designed this. And we all need to be honored. Look at this passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:22-25. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacks, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Paul is saying, stop. Look, God honors every part of the body. Do we? God knows the importance of the people who are doing the behind the scenes thing. I mean, we're sitting here and we're enjoying this phenomenal sermon that the pastor is preaching. And while we're doing this, we're anticipating going into that other room over there and stuffing ourselves on potatoes, chili, bacon bits, sour cream, and about a pound of butter on each potato. And then we're going to go and we're going to auction off wonderful desserts. And I bought a little thing of my French silk chocolate pie. It's just, and each one of you is going to get a clean spoon if you want it, and you can take a bite of to see. But you can't put the spoon back in the thing. You've got to throw it away. It's called being sanitary. Anyway, and so you can taste it before you buy it. But once you taste it, I know you're going to want it, right? But while we're sitting in here, I don't know who is in there, but someone's in the kitchen. Someone's in the kitchen with Diana. I don't know why that came to my mind. But anyway, someone's in the kitchen. And I think it's Rob. And probably Tammy. And someone else. And you know, why we're in here doing this, they're preparing the meal for us. They're cooking the potatoes. It's going to be ready. We're going to go get in line. We're going to go to the east. And guess what? We didn't do a thing. Well, you know, some of us brought desserts and some of us washed potatoes yesterday. You know. So how important is that those people receive the honor that they should get? Because they're helping us as a church. They're preparing a feast for us. They're helping our mission team. They're doing that, and they're not saying, I want you to give me praise. They do not say that. In fact, Mr. Lewis would probably be mad at me that I even mentioned that he's in the kitchen. Although we all know he's in there. It's just that simple thing, is that we're going to go out and we're going to do that, and we didn't do anything to have that meal. It's prepared for us. I didn't do it. Folks, I did not do it. You wouldn't want me to do it. You would want someone who knows what they're doing to cook the potatoes. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you throw them in the microwave, turn down for about 2 hours, and when they explode, they're done. Hey, you want me in the kitchen? You know? Now, come Easter morning, I'll be in there, but I won't be doing potatoes, okay? So, we need to honor one another. We need to honor them. You guys are so good at supporting me. You're so good. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. You're so kind. You say kind things to me when you talk to me. I've learned a little secret, though. If you turn your head to the left when you say something, that means you're probably not tell me the truth. So, just a little profiling thing. So make sure that when you say something to me that you don't turn your head to the left, okay? Especially if it's a positive thing. But, you know, you guys are really good about supporting me. But we need to honor the folks we are not seeing. We're doing a lot of the work. Romans 12:3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of your faith. See, that's the other thing is we can, the people who are our friend, the people who sing, the people who teach, we can start thinking, this church, they can't get along without me. But you know what? I'm not going to be here next week. I'm going to be doing visitation in Olympia. See, we have some folks over there that need us to go visit. And we're going to go visit and stay in the house next to the Puget Sound. That you can see Mount Rainier in the background. We're going to go visit. It's going to be costly for us to do that, but we're going to go do that. But I figured that next week this church is going to function just like they normally function. Steve's going to take over for me. Probably do a better job than I do. You know, it's going to, you don't need me. I hope I'm helpful, but you don't need me. None of us are, this church will survive. This God will see that it survives without me. So I can't think so highly of myself as to, well, boy, they just can't live without me. Yes, they can. Yes, you can. You better be able to, or I'm not doing my job. And then again in Romans 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to the ones, to one another in honor. Be devoted to ourselves. We are many members of one body. We have a common head, which is Christ. We need to love, we need support, we need to honor everyone. We are all different, we are all unique, but God has placed us here so that the body can function properly. And we need to make sure that we are doing our part and that we are encouraging others to do their part and that we are loving and supporting and honoring one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for making us into one body. Thank you, Lord, for providing all things that we need that we can function as a body through the many members that you have attached here. Help us, Lord, to serve you. Help us to love one another. Help us to grow in our faith, to grow as a body, grow as a church, grow as a family. Lord, thank you that through Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that we have place. We have a purpose. Lord, help us to fulfill that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.